The Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI. Each week, we introduce you to something new, something that'll make you think, something that might change your life. Here's this week's author interview on the Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI.
Joining us this week for the Wednesday Bookmark is Kevin Makins. Kevin is the founding pastor of Eucharist Church in downtown Hamilton, which has been recognized as one of the most creative and innovative churches in Canada. We're going to talk this morning about his book, Why Would Anyone Go to Church? A Young Community's Quest to Reclaim Church for Good. Really appreciate your time this morning, Kevin.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Burke.
Let's start by talking about your own experiences with church growing up. What do you want to share with us on that front?
I think in a lot of ways I had a very similar experience to many of my peers. Was raised in, you know, a very fine, kind church. I was raised in a Lutheran church, and it was, you know, smaller, 80 or so people, nothing flashy, nothing impressive. And there were things about that church experience that at the time I thought were, you know, kind of, I don't know, maybe I thought they were boring or thought they were uninteresting, and I sort of distanced myself a little bit from that. But now, later in life, as we've been able to re-engage church, re-engage the idea of church, I'm starting to see, oh, there were a lot of things in that experience I had as a kid that were actually remarkably positive, and a lot of things that, in many ways now, our congregation, while in so many ways looking very, very different from the community I was raised in, there are a lot of things that we've learned as well from those kinds of places, those kind of communities.
Hmm. You say the story of Eucharist Church is tied to the story of Hamilton itself. How so?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that churches kind of take on. You know how like dogs kind of look like their owners sometimes? I feel like churches should really be the dogs of their cities. Mm. You know, they should look a little bit like the city that they're from. You know, the example of church planting, the kind of language that we use around starting a new congregation being church planting, is really a good question to ask. You know, what are we planting and where are we planting it? And so it is possible to start congregations, and we've seen this happen, I'm sure, where, you know, there's a bit of a person at the top who says, this is what the church is going to look like. We're dropping it in this city. This is the time it's going to meet at. This is how it's all going to work. And they've kind of got their model of this is what the church will be even before the church begins. But the churches that I've seen that I think most are living out a life of connection and a life of mission in their place are churches that really planted and said, okay, let's let the soil of this place shape the structure of our church.
Mm.
Let's let the realities of these neighborhoods shape the kind of community we are becoming. And so everything from where you meet and times that you meet to how you gather in homes or parks or apartment buildings, how you respond to moments like the COVID moment we've been in, how you engage missionally in your city, where you give money. I mean, all of these different factors at every level should be shaped, I believe, at some level, by the place where you are. You know, it's being good missionaries. It's going in like good missionaries and listening for a really long time before you attempt to do anything, and then making sure that whatever you do is happening slow enough that the culture and community that you are kind of surrounded by actually shapes the makeup of that community that you're forming, the congregation that you're forming.
Churches should be the dogs of their city. That's a great quote right there. I love that.
That's not even in the book. That one's free for you, bro.
That's free. In chapter 4, you talk about falling into the one-offs trap, as it were.
Yeah.
The church people were hosting events, they were getting involved in causes, and they were burning out. So talk about coming out of that and adjusting your approach and even your mindset.
Oh, I love one-offs, like, so much. Like, I am such a one-off personality. It drives anyone who's been a part of our church for more than, like, 2 years. It just drives them crazy. Because I would always say, let's do some new event, let's do something fun, let's do something new. And people would say, yeah, you know, that's just burning us out to constantly be doing new things. I think that congregations often get caught in this trap, and just, you know, followers of Jesus, where we really have the best intentions. We want to bless our neighbors and love our neighborhoods and love the people. But yeah, we can end up getting caught in this rat race where we just end up burning out. And I had this friend, Dave, who was a missionary in the Philippines for 10 years. And he was talking to me one day about this feeling of burnout, that, you know, you're constantly trying to do more and more and more, but it doesn't seem to have the impact that you wish it did, and you feel like you're spinning your circles or spinning your tires. And he said that when they went back to the Philippines after a decade of being away, they had started a nonprofit and handed it over to local leadership. They had done justice initiatives. They'd just been engaged for so long. But when they went back to the Philippines, no one remembered anything. Like, none of that.
Mm.
All they remembered is that they shared the same drinking water, and they had a Where's Waldo book. And that was it. And they would say, you know, and they had all these memories of time they spent together, and the young kids would be like, you had the Waldo book. You drank from the same water as us. And Dave leaned in and said to me, no one remembered what we did. They only remembered who we were. And that then became a huge lesson for us as a church, that what we're doing is fine. It's fine to do things. You know, we still get involved in causes and host events, but that has to come after who we are, because who we are is really the only witness, really the only testimony that we actually have to our cities and our neighbors.
You had a host of interesting experiences, we'll say, regarding finding the right physical location space for Eucharist. What have you learned through all of that struggle?
Yeah, for anyone listening who doesn't know, like, our congregation met in five buildings in the first 5 years of being a church. So just, a nightmare. And we were renting in the afternoon. And we've eventually now, we've purchased a building. And we purchased a building just in time for COVID to once again kick us out of a building. So we really have had only an exile experience. But I will say that trying to figure out where you meet, you know, in terms of your Sunday gatherings or your midweek gatherings, being forced to move from location to location has actually really helped us understand that our parish and our church isn't a building anywhere. It's not one building. Our church is really our city. This is the parish we've been called to. And so we should be just as comfortable in bike lanes and coffee shops, at parks, at public schools. Like, we should be as comfortable in these places seeing God's presence as we are in whatever building we happen to be renting on a Sunday afternoon. And that becomes much easier when you're constantly moving buildings. You know, you can't really give over to the kind of idol or even the ideal that the building is going to be this special place where everything special happens. When you're moving all the time, you're forced to say, okay, where else is God at work? And how can the building that we own, or the place that we gather on Sunday, how can that come alongside and build up the mission of God in our city, as opposed to becoming the kind of be-all, end-all for us as being in the building? And so it was actually really helpful for us to move around a lot.
We won't have time to get right into it, but there's a hilarious chapter near the end that people should read called Church Plant Boot Camp, and you talk about your...
Oh, the boot camp.
Yeah. it was painful to read, but it was also quite funny.
It was painful to live and also quite funny.
Yeah, I can imagine so. So people will pick up the book, I hope, to read that. Some really good nuggets in there, too. As we close and kind of wrap things up, and you sort of touched on this a moment ago, but I want you to offer some reflections on church in a COVID-19 era. Like, what do you think will take away long term from this crazy experience that we've had here in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a turning point for our entire culture, but it's especially going to be a huge learning opportunity for the church. I think that for us to rush back to the way things were before is to miss out on the kind of new wineskin opportunity that we have here. I think a lot of what we used to do with church is going to carry back on, and that's really meaningful and really beautiful. But also in this time, we've been forced into homes. We've been forced into neighborhoods. We have not been able to gather in the ways that have been the most most public and most formal ways that we gather. And so I think that for all of us as followers of Jesus, there's a question of, what if the church can't meet in the building for a time? Or what if the church was never meant to be fundamentally in the building on a Sunday? What does it look like for the church to be found in my house or in my relationship with my housemates? What does it look like for the church to be found when a couple followers of Jesus enter into caring for a new arrival or a refugee and helping them find home? What does it look like for the church to be found in the park when we sit down and we spend time talking together or letting our kids run on the splash pad? You know, that if we have eyes to see it, the church is present in so many different places. Of course, the church is present on Sunday in a building, but that's easy to see. This moment's really forced us to look with different kind of eyes and say, where else is the church popping up that maybe isn't where I naturally expect to see her? And then how can I cultivate in my own life and in the life of my community a real awareness and real drive to see God's presence at work all around us and not just in a particular place on Sunday? And so I think that in many ways, church has kind of been forced out of the walls of the buildings that we typically met in. And I think that there's a really good lesson for the church in that.
Great thoughts. Why would anyone go to church? A young community's quest to reclaim church for good. Hamilton's Kevin Makins, our guest this week for the Wednesday Bookmark. Great stuff. Appreciate your time, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
The Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI. To find out more about this week's bookmark or hear the author interview again or to discover previous books highlighted on the Wednesday Bookmark, go to chri.ca.